Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, let's get to it. Nick Saban yesterday at some sort of event. All I know is he was sitting up there with two men on his left and one on the left, one on the right. They were on bar stools. They both looked very rich, although I was going to say not as rich as him, probably way richer than him. And he was talking about Texas A&M and their recruiting class. I think the only class rated with Alabama's or ahead of Alabama's, and said they bought all their players, Nick Saban said. And Jimbo Fisher, the Texas A&M coach, has come back with some heat. Let's hear it, Nicholas.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. It's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M, because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. I know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you, the people who insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
You think he thinks it's despicable?
It's too bad he held back in that, right?
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Part of that I absolutely love, although I would certainly include Jimbo Fisher in. Well, he's a college coach, which means, as I always say, you know this, I go back to Pete Carrill, if you're in the rat race, Pete Carrill said, you're a rat. They're all in the same boat. But man, do I enjoy the rats going after each other, Ron. I really do. And part of what he said is true. I mean, Nick Saban might be the greatest college football coach of all time, and God bless him for that. But in the end, he is charged with bringing in a bunch of 18-year-old kids to run up and down a patch of grass with a dead pig and try and push it over a white line. There's a lot of people on earth that I admire more for what they do than Nick Saban. And we do. We treat these people like they're gods, and they're not. He's a football coach and a very good one.
Yes. And apparently he has his frailties as well, because Jimbo says, just dig into his past. You'll find stuff you don't want to find out. Talk to the coaches that have coached for him. They'll tell you the true story. Oh, it's great. It's great stuff.
Jimbo's got his skeletons, too. I'm reading NCAA charge Jimbo Fisher. This was from, what, 18 or 19?
He coached at Florida State when my kid was there. They won a national title when she was at Florida State.
For failing to promote an atmosphere of compliant, impermissible contact, recruiting violations, all happening there.
He hasn't quite done everything on the up and up, as he has said.
Yes.
I don't think he's any different than any other big time coach.
That's my
thought
too.
They all do the same thing.
Yes, and it goes all the way back to the Saint and way before him. It goes back to the invention of sports. When money's involved, people will cheat.
People were looking for an advantage.
And I'm talking about John Wooden, of course, who at best turned a blind eye to Sam Gilbert, who was giving his players all kinds of things.
Yes, he did.
They were the best paid team in college basketball.
And won accordingly.
So, God, is that great? We might have to listen to that again later in the show.
Despicable.
In the meantime, there's another story in college
football. It was despicable, Joe.
He said that 10 times.
Despicable.
And that is this, that divisions within the conferences, the NCAA basically has come out and say, you do what you want. You don't have to have divisions. I honestly didn't know they said that in the first place, that you had to have divisions. I thought the reasonable thing when the conferences were expanding faster than Beaver Stadium, that you would want to have two divisions, right?
Well, I think originally the rule was, if you're going to have a championship game,
got to have two divisions.
Conference championship game, there's got to be two divisions. Now they're saying you can have a conference championship game without divisions.
Now you don't have to have one. So the Pac-12, is that what it's called now? I believe.
I don't know how many they have or what it's called.
They said, okay, then forget it. We don't want that anyway. In fact, they've been the conference arguing for this the most, I think, along with the ACC.
Their plan could be as soon as next year, 2023, and it's a 3-5-5 plan. Like Pitt would have three permanent opponents, whether it be like Syracuse, BC, Louisville, and then they'd rotate five the next year and then the other five the next year. But they would always play three the same year.
So the number of conference games would stay the same. The rationale here is that conferences want to have their best teams in their conference championship game. So they would rather just have all the teams lumped in as one, instead of maybe a bogus division winner getting there. And I went back and looked, Ron, remember when Pitt went in 18, I believe it was, when Pickett went 1-for-7 in that championship
Clemson
game?
Clemson just killed him. That was Trevor Lawrence.
I would guess that the ACC would have pitted Clemson against a division rival, Syracuse, that year, because Syracuse was ranked 15th in the country and Pitt was unranked.
Yep. I don't remember Syracuse being that good, actually. But yeah, your point is, absolutely. They want the two best teams.
Yeah, Syracuse was 10-3 that year. So if you want the two best teams, I suppose in a certain year that could affect you negatively or positively, right?
Right. What do you think of 3-5-5?
That's fine with me. I don't care who who would the three rivals be for Pitt?
Well, that's the thing. You know, Syracuse, I guess, would be one, right?
You wouldn't want Clemson to be one, would you?
Well, as somebody that loves college football, I wish it would be Clemson. But
who gets stuck with Clemson as one of their rivals? That's the only question here.
Not, you know, Pitt doesn't want Clemson as a rival. You know, I would think, I haven't even looked, but I mean, I would think BC, Syracuse, Louisville maybe.
Yeah, I would pick BC and Syracuse for sure. And then I think Miami. I wouldn't call it like a classic college football rival, but they've played a lot of games against Miami.
A lot of great games, too.
And Virginia Tech. Of those four, I would take three.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about Virginia.
I think Miami's a fun game. It's usually a fun game. They're an interesting program with a lot of history. So I would choose Syracuse, Boston College, and Miami. How about you?
Virginia Tech has been a great rival for them, too. They've had some great games against them. I mean, I from a logistical standpoint, you know, they figure the travel would probably be easier with Virginia Tech than Miami. Again, I'd love it to see beat Miami, Clemson, and whoever, but I would probably say Syracuse, BC, and Virginia Tech.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, this gets interesting because teams are going to be lobbying. Why wouldn't Heather Lyken and Pat Narduzzi say to the ACC, you know, you might not realize this, but we really value our rivalries with Duke and Wake Forest. Can we play them every year? We really want to foster those rivalries. Nobody's going to say Clemson.
Nobody. Nobody wants to play them.
So how do you decide? About, I get the 3-3-5. How do you decide who the three rivals that you have to play every year are?
Well, I think you got to look at, you know, we're just looking
who
at
who decides?
It. We're looking at it. Well, I mean, I think the league does, the commissioner. The ADs are involved in this.
Someone's going to be very unhappy, Ron.
Sure. I mean, but I think we're just looking at it from Pitt's standpoint, but you got to see, okay, who does it make sense for Virginia Tech to play?
Virginia obviously would be one. I mean, there are some obvious ones.
Right. So from that standpoint, I think, you know, that would maybe eliminate, say, Virginia Tech if they have two other rivals that makes more sense. I don't think anybody's going to get into Duke and North Carolina is big rivalries for Pitt. I mean, Syracuse is the one obvious one because they played them for 100,000 years.
North Carolina is going to wind up getting Duke and Wake Forest since they're like 10 miles away, right?
Right.
So you better give them Clemson as their third team if they get Duke and Wake Forest. That's
a
big deal.
Wake Forest played in a championship game last year. They're not exactly a horrible program. That's who Pitt beat.
I know. That's actually true.
That's who Pitt beat in the ACC championship.
You're right about that. They were up last
Thank
year.
Thank you. I think once in a while, aren't I?
I've said you were right multiple times today, Ron. Multiple times. You know.
I want it on tape back there. What's his name? Nicholas.
You're right, actually. But do you expect Wake Forest to be – you're projecting far into the future when you pick these rivals. You know what I mean, Ron?
Yeah, but again, this stuff can all change too. You know, maybe you do this for 5 or 10 years and then you want to do something else again.
Yeah, Wake Forest was actually ranked 2 years ago, too, before the pandemic season, so maybe you don't want them. They've been to 5-6 straight bowl games. Strike that I ever said
that,
Ron.
Yeah, the program's pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay, Ron. They've sucked for a long time before that, and they probably will they in the future.
So did Pitt.
Now, at least Pitt was around 500 for 40 straight years.
No, you're right.
No, you're wrong. I mean, I'm right. You're wrong. You're wrong, and I'm right. What are you doing over there, Ron?
Nothing.
So if you had to pick Pitt's three rivals to move forward with in the ACC, who would you pick? Who would you pick? Syracuse has to be one, I think, in BC. The two old Big East. And Miami was an old Big East team. But to me, and so was Virginia Tech.
But their history with Syracuse, I think, is longer than any of the others.
Yes. Do you like this in general?
I'm okay with it. I don't really care, to be honest with you. They keep divisions, that's fine. They go this, that's fine. I like to see them play Clemson. That I do want to see. But I'll get that at least every other year.
And I wouldn't call Clemson anything close to a rival anyway. That would be a little bit ridiculous. I'm also thinking of the Big Ten here, though. I mean, how many years? Let me look at the Big Ten, Ron, for a moment.
Yeah,
well, look at last year. You had three teams in the top 10 in the East, and in the West, your best team was Iowa. So that's you would have had a rematch between Ohio State and Michigan.
That's a reason why you want to have maybe no divisions so you can get the two best teams.
Some people would say that's a reason you don't because you got to give somebody a chance in the other division, right? It'll be Ohio State, Michigan every year. I agree with you. I like it just the way it is. Of course, I feel that way about like hockey too. I'd like to see hockey, the NHL, go 1 through 31. You play every team twice. That would be 60 of your games. And then you go rivals. You play them an extra couple times. Then you just have wild card teams.
So no divisions.
No, they don't do divisions anyway. They played the Hurricanes three times this year. And yet they justify a division playoff? From what? So
They played Carolina more than they play other teams.
Do they?
Some four, some three.
How many times did they play Tampa Bay and Florida this year? Two?
I think,
or three?
I think they played them three times.
So they played one more game.
Against like the Rangers.
Yeah, so as far as I'm concerned, that's barely a divisional format anyway.
Maybe they only played Tampa twice. They beat them twice down there. No, Tampa. They beat Tampa twice there. Tampa had to come here too.
So that they played them as many times as Carolina.
Right. Right.
So they don't do it anyway.
Well, that's not a Carolina. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I was thinking other division, but they are in their division.
No, the NHL has a divisional format in which the most you play a division rival is four times.
Right.
Which isn't a divisional format to me. You're playing everybody else anyways.
Twice. Usually twice.
There's really very little emphasis on your division, except, of course, when they get to the playoffs. The whole thing's stupid, Ron. For me?
Yet, you say that, yet these playoffs have been absolutely...
Oh, they would have been absolutely phenomenal no matter who they played.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. I find these tournaments so far riveting.
So do I.
Riveting. And
would it have been less riveting if it was Maple Leafs, Penguins? Not to me.
Probably not. Probably not.
Plus, you want your Connor McDavid home and away every year. You get that?
Well, I get that anyway.
Every single year?
Yeah. Not in COVID, but this year you got home and away.
Every team?
I think. Yep.
That would have taken up 60 games of your schedule. I'm wrong about that.
I know they played Edmonton home and away. I don't know if that's every team, but I know they played Edmonton home and away.
I want to see
Calgary. I know they played home and away.
I'd rather see in the NHL because you run into the same situation in all sports where you could have a winner of a bad division who's not really deserving.
We've talked about that. You know, when Pitt won a couple years ago, you know, when Clemson killed them in the championship game, they won a very weak division.
I just want to open it all up, Ron. I think that's unless you really want to go to town with your divisions. Then I would rather have it open.
No, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
In the NHL.
It'd be interesting to see how they determine who the three permanent opponents are.
In hockey or in football?
And I'm talking about the college football we're talking about.
It'd be interesting if they did it in hockey, too. Who would you pick as the Penguins' main rivals? If you had to pick, let's just say,
Philly and Washington.
So would I.
Those would be easy ones.
Be fabulous. For me. Would they pick that? Would Philly and Washington pick that, do you think? I think so.
Probably. The tournament, those guys, those teams are just incredible.
I think it'd be unbelievable if he did that in hockey. I really do. 1 through 31 and let's go. It doesn't exist anymore in baseball either. There used to be a mystery about if you're a National League person, the American League, you never see those guys. Now you see them all the time.
Now,
just open it all up, Ron.
Your point is well taken.
Who would you pick as the Pirates' two main rivals, teams they would play extra?
I would like to see Cincinnati and Cleveland, probably.
I'd like to see Philly and St. Louis.
In the old days, Philly and the Mets.
I would like to see Philly and St. Louis as the extra teams for them. I wonder how Philly would feel about it. They probably want to see the Mets for sure. And then St.
Louis. Logistically, Cincinnati and Cleveland probably make the most sense. Cleveland. Although... you know, when baseball has its interleague, they've given Cincinnati Cleveland. That's been their rivalry, not Pittsburgh Cleveland.
Right. And then you'd have St. Louis KC would be a natural rivalry.
Exactly.
I think it would be great in baseball, maybe more than any other sport, to open the whole thing up. They got 162 games to play with. Would you like to see that? Or you like divisions?
I'm okay with divisions.
The divisions suck, Ron. Let's get a little controversy brewing here. What do you like about the divisions? What about when you have a bad division winner?
Well, yeah, but I think that stuff evens out. I don't think it's every year that is a bad division. Last year, the Dodgers won 108 games, Giants won 107.
Perfect example. They were completely penalized then.
I don't think that happens very often, though. I mean, it happened last year.
I think it happens a lot. Yeah. Yankees, Red Sox in the same division. That's an argument against divisional play.
Look at the year the Pirates had 98 wins. They still finished second.
They should have been seeded fourth in all the majors. course, they had those against a division. We'd have to measure how good their division was right. and how much their 98 wins depended on that. But I think the division was pretty good.
Obviously. The
Can you come up with a formula for that and send it to the league?
I'll work on that one tonight.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.